Mark 6 and verse 30, just read one verse here. And I think what is recorded here in Mark 6 is a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to every believer. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Now turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And for this reason, for this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I want to preach this morning a message entitled Christian Accountability. From the text that we've just read, it should be apparent and obvious that every believer will face a day of reckoning when we will stand before the one who died in our stead, who gave his life to redeem us, and give an account of what we've done, what we've taught, what we've said in this life. There's coming a day when our words, our works, and our motives will be brought into the light of God's holiness to be tried. This day of Christian accountability is often referred to as the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ. It's a fact that every believer will be audited, if you will. And this audit won't be done by the IRS. They're prone to make mistakes. And they sometimes treat people unfairly in their audit, and sometimes they're unable to get around the loopholes in the tax laws. You see, this audit that I'm talking about this morning is going to be performed by the just and the holy Lord, the one from whose eyes nothing can be hidden or disguised. Now, you know, most people fear and dread an IRS audit, where they have to give an account of their earnings and their taxes. And usually there's about three basic reasons why people dread an IRS audit. Number one, they're unprepared. Number two, it's totally unexpected. Or number three, they know they've been cheating. And they know they're going to get caught. Do you realize that one of my responsibilities as your pastor is to make you aware and set before you your accountability to serve God and to give Him first place and priority in every aspect of your life so that you will be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ, when you will personally give an account for everything that you've done and said and why you did it in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to ask, I want to ask you this morning to look into your soul and into your heart. This past week, as you went about your day-to-day life, did you think much at all about your personal accountability before God? Monday through Sunday of this week, did you ever wake up thinking, what I do today, what I say today, where I go today, is all recorded in heaven, and one day I'm going to stand before the Lord with this 24 hours and give an account of what I've done? We don't think like that, do we? But it's a fact. Every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Well, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. I've got it written down and memorized. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All right? There's the priority right there. Have a reverence for God. Do what He says, when He says, and how He says it. That's your duty. And because it is your duty, you will one day give an account why you did or did not obey that command. Listen to this. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is all about you being gathered to the Lord to give an account what you've said, done, and taught in your life. Day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade, you will, every one of us, shall give an account. Now first, we want to examine the basis of our accountability before God. And I want to address, first of all, every man's accountability, not just the Christian. The most basic reason why all men are accountable to God for their speech, actions, affections, and motives is because He's the Creator and the owner of all things. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Even lost people are owned by God, and they are accountable to Him for the way in which they live their lives. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 through 14 says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Listen, because God is your owner, your master, your creator, you are responsible and accountable to do what He commands. I remember when I was a high school student, they had, you could choose poems that you wanted to memorize in English literature, comp. And I remember memorizing one that said, I can't remember the whole thing, but it was a, didn't realize it at the time, but it was a completely secularist view. Said, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. And you know, the fact is, that poem, if you read it in its entirety, is teaching that you are your own supreme God, more or less. It all boils down to you doing what you want. Listen, folks, it's not that way. You're responsible before God. He's the Creator, and you're one of His subjects. Therefore, you're to do what He says. Another basis for our personal accountability before God resides in the fact that He's the sovereign King and lawgiver who demands absolute and perfect obedience out of all of His subjects. God's the King. And as responsible moral agents, men are accountable to God because He gave the law for you and I to obey. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 3. Show you what I'm talking about. What would our universe have? What would it be if there was no moral standard for behavior? It would be absolute chaos. If everybody just did that which was right in their own eyes, according to their own feelings, without any basis for morality, we, because of human depravity, we would be in a mess. And any time you see a nation or a society or a culture moving away from God's standard set forth in the moral law, you will have chaos increasing in that society, in that culture, because they're forsaking the laws of God. But look what it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And now notice this, and God requireth that which is past. Verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Turn over to chapter 8 and verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. What's that mean? There's authority. God is the King. He has the authority to make His word and His laws and His commands known. And He expects them to be obeyed. Now, and who may say unto Him, what doest thou? What right do you as the King have to give us laws to live by, to obey, to abide by? Why are we accountable to you? That's the heart of the natural man. Fact is, you can't reply against God. He's the King. He gave the law, and that's the way it's to be. Verse 5, whosoever keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. You're accountable to the supreme lawgiver, God Almighty. And then another basis for your personal accountability before God lies in the fact that He's omniscient. He sees, He hears all that you do. Do you understand that? And because He is a holy and a just being, and because He sees all that you do and all that you say, everywhere that you go, every thought that you think, because God is holy, then every work must be brought to judgment. He can't allow anything to go unnoticed. Do you know there no sin in this universe, not even the slightest sin, will ever go unpunished? You ever think about that? God, as a holy, moral, just being, can allow no sin whatsoever to go unpunished. Either it's punished in Christ, in His death on the cross, or it's punished on the sinner throughout all eternity. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You're accountable before God. Remember what it said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that every secret thing shall be brought to judgment, brought to light. God sees you when nobody else does. God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you think on a day-to-day basis. You cannot hide from God. You're accountable to Him. He's recorded everything that you've ever done. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Do you ever feel ashamed when you think somebody's going to see you doing something that you shouldn't do? If you feel that way about another individual, how much more should you think, hey, God sees what I'm doing right now? Because He's much more holy. If what you're doing is offensive to people, how much more offensive is it to a holy God who sees and knows everything? Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12 says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not He that pondereth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works?" Say, man, how can he keep record of everybody? You think of all the billions of people that have come and gone in the history of planet Earth. God's seen the actions, attitudes, and heard the words of every one of them. And you know what? Because He's seen it all, it's all going to be brought to judgment. Turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 12. If you're unsaved, this is where you're going to be. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're not forgiven of your sins through faith in His blood, this is what you will face. A judgment before God. You will give an account of your life. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Nobody is exempt from this. All men are personally accountable. I don't care how much money you may have. If Donald Trump doesn't repent, he's going to be here. Even though he's a multimillionaire, Bill Gates as a billionaire, his money will not buy him a pass from the great white throne judgment. The small and great are going to have to give an account. And notice, and the books were opened. There's a plurality of books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According to this verse, the God who sees and knows all has a book of your life wherein everything you've done has been recorded, and in some supernatural way, He's going to bring it all before you as you stand before Him in judgment. Recorded will be your rejection of Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis, your stubborn unbelief, your refusal to believe the gospel, your impure motives for doing what you do, all of your blasphemies, everything will be brought to light. Do you see how personally responsible you are as an individual? If you're unsaved here this morning, the very thought that God sees and knows everything about you ought to put fear in your heart. So far, we've only addressed the personal accountability of all men before God. And I can see that this message is developed into a two-parter already. We'll finish it up next week. But we're not done, so don't fold your Bible up yet. So far, we've just addressed every man's personal accountability before God. And you know what bothers me today? Preachers aren't preaching that. They're not preaching it in their churches. They're not dealing with people individually. Yes, there is a God in heaven. He's the Creator, the Owner, the Lawgiver, the All-Seeing One. And one day, there's going to be a day of reckoning for every soul. You will stand before God. And you will give an account. The Christian's personal accountability goes far deeper. He's our Creator. He is our Lawgiver. He knows and sees everything. But you know, there's an extended relationship between us and God that the natural man has no conception of. He has no understanding of. You see, we're united to God by blood relationship. By what Jesus did. If you're saved here this morning, I ask you, who's done more for you than Jesus Christ? Who do you owe your life to? Every good thing that you've ever received, it's come from God, His blessings, and His work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. Think about what He did for you. He gave everything that He had. His entire life and ministry was spent for you. His death on the cross, all of the suffering that it entailed, His offering up His soul as a sacrifice for sin, His beatings, the beard being plucked, the blood being shed, the wrath of God being poured out upon Him, Him making His body as a sacrifice, it was all done for you, so that you would escape eternal judgment and hell and wrath that you deserved. He took all of that in His body so that you would never feel the pangs of judgment and condemnation. You would never pay the debt of sin. Do you understand now why I say we are debtors? Why you and I have a personal accountability and responsibility to serve God with every fiber of our being, every day of our lives, every week of every year? If we would put things in proper focus and we would realize that He died for us and that we're to live for Him, I think our lives would be changed. Every day we would consider what His will is rather than what we want. We wouldn't be so bent on pleasing ourselves. We would be bent on pleasing God. He regenerated us. He indwells us by His Spirit. He's given us a book that we're to respond to in obedience and love. When you understand what God has done in your life and you've actually experienced the power of His grace, it ought to be obvious to you that you're accountable to Him. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right? You belong to Him. He purchased you with His life. What are you giving in return? He sacrificed all. What are you sacrificing? He put you first. He denied Himself. And He went to the cross because you were upon His heart. He gave everything. What have you given to Him? He came on a mission from heaven to earth to rescue your soul. Does that mean anything to you? Does that stir your heart? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. I'm asking you today, are we serious about making God's Word, His will, and His service a priority in our lives? We are accountable. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. We do have an accountability, don't we? What are you doing? Now, next week, we're going to look at the nature of our Christian accountability. What does it actually involve? Then we're going to look at the results of this day of reckoning and the impact that this truth should have on our lives. I've given you the basis. God's your Creator. He's your owner. He's your Redeemer. He's your Lawgiver. He's your King. As such, you are accountable. What are you going to do with that this week? How are you going to live your life this week? See, I want to get down to where you live. I don't want you to go out of here and let this message go through one ear and out the other and have no influence, no impact upon your life. I want you to think about it tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I don't want us as a church to be satisfied with merely being the status quo in religion. We should seek to excel, to put God first. And I mean be serious about it in our lives. Who are you serving today? I guarantee you one day every secret thing is going to be brought to light. Let's walk in the fear of God and obey Him this week. And be serious about it.